Drapes. Jay, dear listener, I never thought I'd say this. Last night, couple great games, NBA playoffs. Of course, the Lakers losing by two. Great shot by Jamal Murray. LeBron was upset about the officiating, and I never thought I'd say this. I think he has a point. Am I right?
Yes. I'm 100% agree. Like, why did I say this 2 weeks ago, last week?
I know.
It's borderline unwatchable at points with this horrible officiating. I don't know if the officiating is the worst it's ever been or the interpretation of the rules. Like, these officials cannot be this bad. It was awful. I had a hard time watching last night.
Yeah, it was a great finish. And anybody, you know, around here, a lot of people around here were thrilled. Like, I think we were to see the Lakers fall. But after the game, LeBron saying, look, we had D'Angelo Russell, what was it, end of third quarter, where he goes up for a shot, gets hit in the face, and he's fouled. How in the world did the Nuggets challenge that, first of all?
Right.
And then they won the challenge in the replay. You clearly see, guy shoots the ball, he gets hit in the face. If that's not a foul, Drapes, I don't know what we're playing.
What did your boy Scott Foster say, though?
Incidental contact.
I believe he said marginal.
Marginal, okay. Marginal contact.
It's a mockery of basketball. I said it last week or 2 weeks ago on my post-game show, and I went on a two-minute rant about this. The officiating is ruining the game. I know we want to take all glee in the Lakers losing and everything like that. I get it. But there were some bad calls. And the problem is D'Angelo Russell gets whacked in the face. And then LeBron gets called on a little, which is marginal contact on
definitely.
Murray's drive.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
You know, you could be a Lakers hater all you want, but that was bad, man, what happened last night. And I see the comments out there. Well, the Lakers always get the calls. That's my problem with the NBA. It's not about getting the calls or not getting the calls. Get the calls right.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what it is. Just get the calls right.
Backing up to Friday, and this had nothing to do with the outcome. Anybody who saw it knows that it really didn't affect the outcome. But remember the play where I think it was second quarter, there's a scramble, and Keon Ellis is trying to get the ball, and Larry Nance Jr. grabs the ball with one hand.
Oh, and then mushes
him,
right?
Him. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, with one hand, just like to the chest, no foul. It's like, I don't know what game this is.
I challenge anybody out there who thinks that this is good for basketball, that this is quality basketball. People say, oh, well, you got to let the players decide. You know, back in the 80s, they used to do. No, that would have been called a foul in the 80s. Like, seriously. And we're talking about physicality, Whitey, and I said this last week. I'm okay with the body-to-body physicality. But what's happening now, the chop on the arm, the mushing in the face, D'Angelo Russell getting whacked across the face, those are fouls no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not physicality. And I said it before. That's prison ball I'm watching at times out there, and I hate it for the NBA.
I think to those who would say, oh, the 80s, they let him play like this, not really. I mean, at least there was some sense of consistency,
right,
which is the problem now, to your point. Sometimes this is not a foul, and boop, that is a foul.
Yes.
So it's like, I don't get it. Then you have the other game, of course, that wild, wild scramble with the Knicks coming from behind to beat the Sixers. And were there some fouls in that wild sequence? Yeah, but what got me was Nick Nurse. And we may have the audio somewhere. If we do, great. If not, no worries. Nick Nurse saying, well, you know, we tried to call a timeout, and I was looking right at the official, and he ignored me. You hear that audio?
Yes. I heard that last night. And here's the problem that the NBA has. I said it before. I love the NBA. I love Adam Silver. I love what he's done for the game. But too often, the calls or lack thereof become the story.
Yeah.
Like that Sixers game, hell of a shot by DiVincenzo. Hell of a shot by Brunson. But Tyrese Maxey got mauled. Even Stephen A. Smith admitted it on
Wasn't
the
Brunson had his jersey?
Yeah. He had to. And remember, Keegan Murray got called for the similar foul in Phoenix earlier. And what did we say after that? Oh, that's automatic. Like, you grab the jersey, that's automatic.
Mm-hmm.
But last night, it wasn't last night. And it's just, I hate to say it's an unwatchable product because we had some great finishes, but it's not the basketball I grew up with. We grew up in the Bad Boys era. But they were called for the fouls. It wasn't like, you know, we talk about the physicality. It wasn't like the Pistons got away with it. They got called for the fouls. Now you're letting guys actually get away with it. And like you said, Whitey, one in, there's a whack across the face, no foul. Another call, boop, and it's a foul. Mm-hmm. It's too inconsistent right now.
The best officiating is the officiating you don't notice, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes.
You know, it's like,
Either way.
Like, oh, yeah, I guess they did a good job. And now too many games, it's like you said, it's front and center. It's one of, if not the biggest story of the game, and that's a problem, and the league is creating this problem. That's what I don't get. This is a problem of the league's own creation, and what do they stand to benefit from this? I don't know.
I have, you know, and everybody's like, oh, well, we like it like this. We like the physicality. No, we don't. This is only making people angrier. And when I say people, I'm talking the players on the floor and the coaches, because here's why. At some point, if the official isn't going to make the call, I'll make it for him then. You know what? You're going to let this guy do this? I'm going to do it on the other end. And then it's going to escalate and get out of control, and it's going to be a big fight. Is that what we want? You know, I said it on the – Jay, I'm going to send you the video, Jay, of my rant, because
– Wasn't that the day we talked to Tim Kempton?
Yes, because later that night.
Yeah,
yes,
you were
– And I referenced
him. Like, oh, yeah.
It's bully ball, and I hate it. And you know, the comments I got after this is, oh, Drapes, you're soft. These players today are soft. No, it's not about that. It's about calling the foul when it happens. How the heck can D'Angelo Russell shoot the shot, then get whacked across the face, and they say, since the ball already left his hand,
right,
it was marginal
Even
contact.
Even worse, there's a call. It is called a foul, and then they reverse it.
They say, no, it's not a foul. And so if Steph Curry takes a three, and here's the thing about it, Whitey. You get called for a flagrant foul, not even touching a guy, by landing in a guy's space, mm-hmm, airspace. Mm-hmm. You get called for a flagrant foul. You whack a guy across the face, you don't get anything? I'm almost close to turning off basketball. It's so bad right now.
And it's not that the players are soft. It's that we, or at least I, don't know what a foul is anymore.
Right. And they always use the darn word marginal.
Yeah.
I wish I never heard that word again. It's like spray threes almost. You know, I don't want to hear marginal, because what is the definition of marginal? From one guy to a different person, it's too much gray area, right?
Yes.
What you deem marginal might be different to what I deem marginal.
The rules of a game cannot be that subjective.
Right, exactly. And that's what's happening. And I know everybody wants to talk about Jamal Murray's shot. I know we want to talk about the Knicks, Andy. It was a great shot, tremendous shot. I'm watching that game, and I'm not saying it's rigged, because to me, it will never be rigged against the Lakers. Like, that's,
I know,
like,
that's
and
the
against
other
LeBron.
Thing that makes
like,
me go,
some
ah.
people are like, it's rigged. No,
I mean,
it would never
the
be.
The Knicks
rigged.
Benefited from some controversial calls. All right, I understand that. But the Lakers were hurt by
right.
those calls.
I know, right?
I don't know what's going on.
What's happening in the NBA? And so it's hard for me to watch right now. It is really hard for me to watch NBA basketball, because we've gone too far the other way. We used to get mad just earlier this season. Oh, players complain too much. Well, now they actually have a reason to complain. Now they have a reason to look at the official with their arms up in the air like, how come you didn't call that foul? It's ugly basketball to me.
You saw Embiid after that Knicks game, he had his head down. He's like, it's disgusting. It's inexcusable. When I first heard it, I thought he was talking about Maxey. He goes, it's not his fault. He said, we were all trying to call timeout.
Yeah. It's you know, and I understand letting the players decide. But the beauty of today's NBA basketball is the skill level of the players. You're letting guys get away with brute force, way more physical contact. This isn't physical contact. These are some dirty plays. You mentioned it. The Larry Nance play, that's a flagrant to me. That's not a basketball play.
When they first started calling those flagrants, I remember, I think Carmelo Anthony went up for a shot, and he happened to accidentally hit somebody in the face. He got thrown out. It's like, he didn't even know he did it.
It was accidental, right?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Now it's not even a foul.
It is ugly basketball. And I never thought I'd say this about the NBA. Like, I'm an NBA guy.
Yeah.
I was born with the NBA. I came out of the womb talking NBA. But now it has made it almost unwatchable, in my opinion.
It would almost be like in baseball, guy touches home plate. Now he's out. Well, aren't you safe? He made marginal contact without playing. So, you know, I thought, you know, it's just you don't know what the rules are anymore. I was going to say it would be like if there's a pitch down the middle and they called it a ball. Unfortunately,
that's what's
that
happening
happens
now,
all
right?
the time.
Exactly. Yeah. That happens all the time, and we can see it. But, you know, I get it. The Lakers, we're happy they lost. But LeBron, his comments, and hopefully we got it, it's true. What are we doing out here, NBA? Like, we are not letting the players actually decide the games now.
Yeah.
Now you're letting the officials really have a major impact, I think, on these games.
That's a very slippery slope. And LeBron said, wasn't he talking about the replay center, right? He's like, what are they doing?
Like,
what are they looking at?
It was on review. Like, that's the textbook definition of a foul. And that's a flagrant hit to the face.
I would love to just be able to candidly talk to Michael Malone. Why did you challenge that? Maybe
right.
say, these days, who knows?
Right. It was like 50-50, toss it up. And unbelievable. Like, they showed the replay several times, and I'm like, oh, that's a clear as day foul. Like, and then when Scott Foster said that, I don't know what a foul is anymore. That's the problem in the NBA.
Yep.
We don't know what the fouls are.
Yep, that is the problem. But the Lakers got their own problems right now.
Yes.
Did you see Anthony Davis's post game?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I loved everything about it. He's pissed. And give Jamal Murray credit. That was a hell of a shot. Hell of a shot. Denver's so good, man.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
We'll have Bobby Marks, Barney. He's going to join us bottom of the hour. The great Bobby Marks, former assistant GM of the Nets, with his look at where the Kings go from here. And when we come right back, this Kings-Nuggets parallel. Help me out, because I'm not quite seeing it. Next with the Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Oh, boy. Didn't that ease the pain for Kings fans? Maybe just a little bit, Kyle. Just a little bit to see what the Lakers went through last night.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Kings fans are like, see? Now it's your turn, Lakers, to feel the pain that we felt last night. And I get it. Kings fans are enjoying, you know, LeBron crying. But I've had some Kings fans say, even I can't co-sign the officiating last night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the text line here, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Been watching NBA since 87. I was truly done this season, but still gave it the old college try. Last night was so bad in Denver, I think I'm done. Players versus refs, awful.
Players versus refs, awful.
Mm-hmm.
It's true, because we complain when the players whine and moan to the officials. And I said it last segment, ladies and gentlemen. Now the players have a reason to whine and complain and moan to the officials. And I'll tell you what, Whitey, I remember this. And I'm not a finely conditioned athlete by no stretch of the imagination.
I don't know. We've seen your video.
Yeah, exactly. You saw me
from
knock
lifetime,
down the jumper.
Yeah.
They called it a two. I really thought it was a three. I'm going to put it on social media. Was this a two or a three? It was a deep two. They said foot on
the line. I don't know how you're going to tell.
I play basketball. I know where I'm at on the line.
No, I know, but I thought you said you're going to put it on social media so we could
You couldn't see the line?
I don't think so.
Nah, really? All right. I'm going to take a closer look at it and break it down. But I remember playing this intramural game, and you guys at home will understand this. And a guy was hacking. He was fouling. I took a shot. No whistle. I got fouled. I turned to the ref because he didn't make the call, and I said, use some colorful language. Call the bleeping foul.
The only place you'll find.
And what wound up happening is then you go down the other court, other end of the court, and I say, all right, you didn't think that was a foul? Let me show you what a foul really is.
Mm-hmm.
And then you whack somebody really hard. That's what can happen in today's NBA. You know, it's like guys are getting beat up on, and eventually they reach a boiling point. How many times during the regular season the last month did we see De'Aaron Fox try to get to the basket, get hacked, no call, throw his hands up? Like, if I'm De'Aaron Fox, and we've seen him take some frustration fouls the other end, it could boil out of control. The NBA is out of control right now with this officiating. And I don't think it's rigged for one team or anything like that. And Adam Silver is doing a disservice, Whitey, to his own officials. Because if I'm Scott Foster, if I'm all these guys, they don't know what a foul is either anymore. Like, 9 times out of the 10, that whack against D'Lo is called a foul.
Yeah, I think he's doing a disservice also to the players and to fans.
Yes.
I can only guess it's in an effort to streamline games, make them go faster, fewer whistles. I mean, I'm just guessing at what the supposed benefit is. Here we have from Folsom Mike on the text line. I can't even comment and add to this because you guys are making a great point. I agree 100%. Physical ball is welcomed, but a foul is a foul, especially when it affects the play. Yeah, right. I mentioned it used to be the officials, and I'm sure they're still trained this way. If there's a violation and there's an advantage gained, then you have to call that.
Right.
That's the whole point of it.
Right.
You know, someone gets hit and they're dribbling the backcourt and it doesn't affect anything. Okay.
Okay.
But, you know, a missed shot when a guy gets hit in the face, it's not hard to see that, hey, maybe he doesn't get hit in the face, maybe it goes in.
Exactly. And I will also argue this too, Whitey. And this is taking it to an extreme. I understand, but I'm going to say it anyway. The construction of your roster is different under these rules. If I'm a GM and I'm saying, oh, you're going to allow this kind of, either A, I'm going to get a big bruiser that can deliver punishment
I want Xavier Tillman now.
Right, exactly. Bring him on. Or B, I'm going to get players and guards who play through that. So to me, a guy like De'Aaron Fox, who's a sleight of frame, at a major disadvantage than a much girthier, like that, girthier guard. And so your construction of your team is different now if you're going to allow this kind of physicality.
Now, what about this? What if Freddie Fan calls up and says, hey, guys, come on, you know what you're talking about. It's the playoffs. Playoffs are always more physical. I'll take my answer after you.
There's a difference between physical and a foul. Folsom Mike just said it. Yeah. Physical ball is welcome. To me, physical ball is using your body. It's not whacking a guy across the face. It's not mushing a guy. That's like, if that's not called a foul, Whitey, what is a foul?
That's it.
Like, what? We might as well get rid of fouls then in total. Mm-hmm. Because those are textbook definitions of fouls that just are not being called.
Now, that would be a sport. We used to do a drill like that. NBA, no babies allowed.
Yeah.
Where we just put the ball in there with three girls and they loved it. It's like, all right, if you score, you're out. Yeah, but there are no fouls.
No fouls, right? Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, it's gotten to a point where, like Domas, for instance, all the abuse he takes, and I know he gives some out too, but, you know, these guys are highly trained athletes. They're in the heat of the battle. The testosterone is flowing. Who's to say that somebody doesn't catch an elbow? Because they're, you know, hacking them and mm-hmm. the officials aren't making the call. I would not be surprised if somebody does that. Mm-hmm. The NBA, man, I'm so disappointed in this season and the way Adam Silver's handled everything. It's disgusting to me what's happening.
Since the All-Star break, right?
Yes, it's since the All-Star break.
When scoring was getting really nutty and then they decided they're going to bring it in that way.
It's not the way. And if you want to do that, okay, maybe wait till after the season. Maybe. But the problem is, there was no league memo. There was no new rule instituted. It was just, hey, referees, stop calling as many fouls, you know? And
yeah.
So and basically that was it.
Uh-huh.
You know, you meet with the Referees Association, you tell them what you want, and the guys start swallowing the whistle. It's terrible.
It's like 2017 when baseball had the flight-friendly baseball, and all the pitchers said, I can't get a grip on it. And all the hitters said, it's just flying over the fence. And baseball went, yeah, we don't know.
We don't know what happened. How'd that
boy, you know, it insults your intelligence as a fan.
Yes, it really does. And I don't see how a fan can really enjoy this. Because I get it. If you're a Kings fan, you love seeing the Lakers cry. But what happens when it happens to your team? We've seen it happen to De'Aaron Fox and Domas down the stretch.
Not, and we're not using that as any excuse for where the Kings are.
No, right.
But it's true.
But it is true. But, you know, we can't, you know, say, you know, our guys aren't getting to the free throw line. De'Aaron Fox and Domas should be getting more free throws and then laugh at what happened last night to the Lakers. Like, I've said this. And, Jay, I'm telling you, I'm going to send you this rant that I had. We need to just have the fouls be called. I'm not asking for any special treatment, no reinvention of the rules. If you see a foul, call a foul.
And here's the larger issue potentially going forward. When you have this going on where a foul is no longer so clear cut, and it's really more than ever up to the interpretation of the official, and you have that at a time when gambling and its connection to the game is more prevalent than ever, you're just asking for trouble.
Exactly. And, you know, and you're asking for trouble from a player's but also an official's perspective also. They have way too much control over a game now.
Yes.
You know, instead of letting the players decide, you're actually giving the officials more power during these games.
And even if you are 100% certain that all of your officials are nothing but they have the finest integrity mm-hmm. and would never do anything like that, even if you had that assurance, it's a bad look for your fans.
Right.
Who look at that and go, whoa, there's something funny about that. Because that he just got clobbered. That's not a foul. And I don't know why the NBA is opening that door. They don't need to do it. And they're asking for these problems.
Yeah, I think what wound up happening is the NBA, in its effort to curb scoring, just unilaterally decided this, but didn't recognize the consequences. It's backfired on them. I wasn't upset that guys were scoring 60 or 70 points per game. Like, you know, when you look at it, too, it wasn't because Luka was getting to the line 30 times or Kat got to the line 25 times. Those guys were just really good. They hit threes. And now you're making it more physical. You know, if you want to bring back the hand check, okay, that's one thing. But guys are legitimately getting whacked across the face, mm-hmm. and that's not a foul.
Who better to put a bow on this than Tin? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello, Tin. Thanks for hanging. What's up?
Anytime. Let's put a nice purple bow on it. Just want to add another play. Big, goofy Larry Nance Jr. Like, remember the play? Like, he, like, extended his arm and whacked Keon Ellis in the face?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my friend thought that should have been called as well.
Yes, you're absolutely right, Tin. We mentioned that just a short while ago. You're right. That was like in the NFL, that's like a clear pass interference because he had his arm extended.
Right.
And in the NBA now, it's like, ah.
Play on.
They're both fighting for the ball. So, yeah.
And you know.
Yeah, thank you, Tin.
Tin.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
And here's the thing. The NBA is a beautiful game. Basketball is a beautiful sport. These players are so skilled, highly skilled. Now, I understand wanting to legislate out the acting, legislate out the flopping, but that's not what the NBA is doing right now. It is fundamentally changing the game and the way it is played. One of the first rules of basketball is the personal foul. We don't even know what that is anymore. We don't know what a fundamental rule of basketball. It's like in the NFL. When they decided a catch is something different now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Why all of a sudden, you know,
yeah.
Now when I don't know what a catch is anymore, you know? It's
yeah.
Like, and so it's ridiculous, Whitey.
Did you know that in the original rules of basketball that Naismith drew up in 18 whatever, 13 rules, whatever it was,
yeah.
If you committed, I think it was three, it might have been two, but if one team committed three fouls in a row before the other team did, then you had to give up a point.
Really?
Yeah. That's why
get
we're
out of here. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So three fouls in a row is like, oh, that's a point for the other team.
Wow.
Boy, the officials had a field day with that.
Back in the day.
The Lakers would never lose.
I know, right? You could take points away? you talk about something being rigged.
Hey, real quick here, before we get to Bobby Marks, I'm getting more and more nervous about Malik. I don't know about you. I go back and forth, but we know that Orlando is one of the teams that might have a shot at him. Speaking of shots, last night they lost again. They shot 36.2% floor, 25.7% from the three-point line. They're a talented team. They cannot shoot, and it makes me more and more nervous every game like that they're going to really make a run at Malik.
And you should be. You should be. And Jalen Suggs got hurt yesterday as well. Malik is a missing ingredient. And I know Klay Thompson has been rumored to Orlando also. But I would rather have Malik right now than Klay Thompson. To me, Klay Thompson is one-dimensional right now. He's just a catch-and-shoot guy. Malik can facilitate, put it on the deck. He's going to be a hot commodity this offseason.
Yeah, he's a legitimate combo guard now.
Yes, he really is.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't see him as a starting point, but he can play it. We've seen it here in Sacramento.
Bobby Marks, ESPN front office analyst on how the Kings build their next playoff roster. He joins us next year with the Drive Guys, Sactown Sports.
Woo!
I thought maybe we'd wake up today and everything the Kings need to do, how they need to get to where they want to go to. I thought, oh, maybe it'll all be clear in the morning, right? But it's not, is it?
It's not.
It's not.
Not at all. I have no idea what the Kings are going to do. Like, the Malik situation is holding them up. Free agency, who can we trade for? I need June, July to get here right now. I can't wait.
I don't have June and July for you, but I have something maybe just as good. He's written a piece here, ESPN.com, on one move every team needs to make, and he knows all about that. ESPN front office, NBA insider, former assistant GM of the Brooklyn Nets. By the way, he once interviewed with the Kings, and I think he turned them down.
He turned the Kings down?
I don't know. It's personal.
No way.
I think they wanted him more. But he liked the interview. Anyway, Bobby Marks with us, the great Bobby Marks. How are you, Bobby?
I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Good, good, good. We were just talking about the fact that I think I spoke to you years ago right after you interviewed with the Kings. And I remember you just said you really enjoyed meeting Vlade that day, right?
I did, yeah. I think I was building a house in Florida, too, so that might have had to do something with it also, too. I don't think the timing was right, and certainly Monty and his group have done a really really good job as far as getting this roster to where they are. But as you guys know, this is the hardest part, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you win 48 games or 49 games last year, and you win 46 this year, and it's like, you know, how the Western Conference is, like, you know, winning that gets you into the play-in nowadays. And now it's determining, okay, what we have internally, is that good enough to take another step, whether that be, you know, with another year of Keegan as far as being that third reliable scorer, or do we have to kind of go outside and take a little bit more of an aggressive approach as far as maybe with some of our own players?
Bobby, it's Kyle Draper here, man. Thanks for jumping on with us. You know, obviously here in SAC, the big priority seems to be Malik Monk. The reports are that the most they can offer him is 4 years, $78 million. Why is that? Why can't we go over or offer Malik more? And how does that sort of impact the Kings in terms of their finances and money they can use going forward?
Yeah, so when Malik signed his contract, he signed a 2-year deal, and based on how many years you sign with the team, you get basically a label when you go into free agency. So because Malik signed for 2 years, he's got what they call early bird rights here, and you're basically kind of capped as far as how much you can sign for. So that, you know, that 4-year, $78 million number is the most you can go. It's roughly around a little bit north of $17 million. If they had signed him for a 3-year deal, then yes, you could exceed the cap, and there's no limit except for, you know, 30% of the cap. You know, New York's going to go the same thing this offseason with Isaiah Hartenstein. He signed a 2-year deal, and they're going to be limited with him as far as what they can afford. So now it depends on, okay, who are the players in free agency? Who has cap space? You look at the teams that have there's six teams right now that we've kind of identified. It's Detroit, it's Utah, potentially it's Orlando, which certainly could become a player. I mean, you guys are watching them right now struggle shooting the ball, and that's been a carryover. That's been a major carryover from last year, this year, playoffs, certainly. Oklahoma City's another team. San Antonio's another team. So teams like that, are they willing to go 4 for $80, or if it's comparable, will he stay in Sacramento here? I think the one a little bit of an advantage that Sacramento has, you know, certainly outside the familiarity, is that some of these teams like Orlando, for example, like eventually you're going to have to pay Suggs and Wagner and Bencaro. So do you want a guy earning $25 million on your payroll? Same thing with Oklahoma City. You know, I mean, we'll see what happens with Giddey, but eventually it's Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and Shea's Supermax will kick in down the road here. So although they are limited, I do still think there's a chance that that Sacramento is still in play as far as to sign him in free agency.
Bobby Marks with us, and Bobby, some fans that don't follow it as closely, if Malik leaves, I think some fans are going to be confused why the Kings can't use that money on bringing in someone else.
Yeah.
But we understand all that. But I did want to ask you about the mid-level exception, which apparently is at the Kings' disposal. How much is that projected to be? What kind of flexibility does that give them?
Yeah, so the mid-level is non-tax mid-level is projected at around $12.9 million. So you could go out and get a good player. Some of the better shooters are probably not going to be there. Certainly, you know, Clay's not going to be there. Buddy Hield probably won't be there. Certainly, we've talked about Malik. Grayson Allen is off the board already here. So you can use that exception and still stay under the luxury tax here.
Bobby, you know, one of the things that I guess from a Kings perspective that I just don't get or understand, and maybe it's, you know, as simple as, you know, we don't have the money like they do. But I look at a team like Boston and all their big contracts, you know, Jaylen Brown, Tatum's going to kick in. They just signed Drew Holiday. How can they do all of that? And it feels like we're hamstrung right now on what the Kings can do financially.
They can do it because they've got really good depth. That's the big thing here. So, and they basically, you know, certainly when you draft Tatum and you draft Brown, and then you basically, you keep on extending them, and then you can go out and exceed the salary cap. You know, the Derek White trade was terrific for them, where they basically, you know, parlayed a couple rotational players. Porzingis, you know, Marcus Smart turned into Porzingis. You know, Al Horford turned into Kemba. You know, Kemba Walker turned into Al Horford. Yeah. And then I said this on Sunday. So yes, they are what we call this, you know, this first and second apron team, where you're restricted as far as how you go out and add. But when you have depth, when you have a guy like Sam Hauser go out and hit four threes on Sunday, and you've got Peyton Pritchard, and you've got Luke Kornet and Horford and guys like that coming off your bench, you can kind of get away with that. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be interesting how many teams are willing to kind of go into the luxury tax, because eventually, starting next year, the tax rules, if you're in there between over 10, between 0 and 10 million, it's not as restrictive as it once was. And how many teams are willing to go into the, you know, the first apron, where basically now we're limited as far as how much money we can take back in a deal. We can't take more money. You have to be careful as far as aggregating contracts here. But what Boston and Phoenix did too is they basically, the league, you had a year to kind of either get your finances in order, or basically, you know, I always say, like, kind of going to the buffet, right? Like, you pay all you can eat buffet and you get 10 minutes to eat, where they went out and basically blew through their payroll. And eventually it does catch up to you. Fortunately for Boston, when you have a core like that, I mean, you could survive that for the next few years.
Bobby Marks is with us. And Bobby, you get to, in your piece, one of the core issues, it's an existential issue for the Kings. I don't know that anybody knows the answer, but you mentioned the possibility that this current group of Kings, that they've already hit their ceiling, that they've plateaued. How likely is that in your estimation?
I don't know if it's likely. I mean, if this team was together for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and if this team was like Toronto back before Kawhi got there, and you're getting to an Eastern Conference semis and Eastern Conference finals, and it's like, okay, we've kind of hit the point of no return. I just think, and Kyle knows this, I mean, there are so many games this year where you blew double digit leads. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not based on you maxed out your roster potential here. That's just based on inconsistency. It's based on the ability to close games. It's based on mental toughness. It's based on, a lot of different things here. So I think if we're talking a year from now in Sacramento has won 47 games and you're losing the play-in, then I think, okay, now where are we here? But you get teased. You know, you win, you know, you're the third seed last year. You lose in a tough 7 games, and it's like you're not supposed to be sitting at home right now. It's supposed to be kind of taking that next step. And that's why I said, like, listen, you could stay as is. You can bring, you know, you can maybe, you know, even if you brought Malik back, and I think that him getting hurt played a big role in how things ended. And you could still be sitting at 47, 48 wins by chance here. So it's not easy, you know, Monty and his group and Mike, it's not easy as far as, you know, being conservative without taking a huge step back or being aggressive, right? You know, similar to what they did with Sabonis and Halbert.
Mm-hmm. Bobby, yeah, you brought up Sabonis, and you know, I've seen in some circles, you know, national writers, if you will, say the Sabonis contract extension has had an impact on the flexibility for the Kings. What kind of impact did that extension last year have going forward, you think, for this Kings team?
Yeah, I mean, listen, they had a couple options that they wanted to do, and I get it. I mean, like, the one thing you don't want to do is kind of get into free agency this year and potentially lose him for nothing. So you know, you basically lost $18-19 million in flexibility because you renegotiated his current contract this year and you bumped it up and then you extended off that. That's the risk. You know, that's the risk as far as, you know, you prioritize re-signing your own player a year earlier than he was going to become a free agent here. And was there a $19 million player out there? It's hard to look back from last summer and say, yeah, they could have had this guy or that guy here. But they did know, they knew what they were doing. The focus, and Monty said it, you know, the focus was bringing this group back, focusing on continuity, tweaking a little bit here with the goal as far as to take that next step. And unfortunately, they didn't take that next step.
Bobby, if the Kings did decide this offseason they wanted to take a big swing at a player, like, and I'm not saying these guys specifically, but this caliber of player, if Jeremy Grant, LaVine, Mikal Bridges, somebody like that, what is the market price these days for a player of that caliber? It's still quite prohibitive, isn't it?
Yeah, but the one thing that Sacramento has going for them, you know, there's a third of the league that's basically is going to be challenged to go out and make trades for the players that you mentioned, just based on where these apron rules are going to be. As far as, you know, the inability to take back more money, Sacramento can do that. The inability to aggregate contracts, meaning combining contracts here, Sacramento can go out and do that. I think, yeah, Portland is going to be interested because they are in a little bit of a financial crisis as far as where they are. I mean, no team that's in the developmental stage should be in a luxury tax, and that's kind of, where they are right now. What happens if Malik leaves and Luke Kennard becomes available or something? You know, is that a one-year stopgap that maybe you can, you know, Memphis got to trim some payroll also here. So I do think that Sacramento is in a position to be active in the trade market. Their finances are in order. Certainly what happens with Malik plays into that a little bit here, but I think they're at a more of an advantage than, you know, teams like Miami and the Lakers and the Clippers, and we'll see what happens with Golden State. And, you know, as I said, there's about 10 teams in that position.
Bobby, my final question is regarding the Kings' draft picks this year and future picks. You know, the belief here is that, man, we really wanted to convey this year's pick to the Atlanta Hawks so we could free up next year's and the 2026 first-round pick. But then I read the article and you say the Kings can trade up to, I think, 4 future picks. How is their draft stockpile right now? And is that attractive, you think, out there to other teams?
Yeah, so they can move their own first this in June, starting the night of the draft. So that's another pick. And yes, I think if you were asking Sacramento, you probably would have wanted to convey this year's first to Atlanta based on the potential of next year's draft. There's, you know, certainly protection on what you owe next year. When you get to June, the calendar year jumps another year. So basically, it goes to 2031. You can trade picks within a 7-year window here. So you're looking at, you know, certainly this June's pick and then, you know, maybe 3 years out based on when that Atlanta pick is conveyed here. So you do, and you've got, you know, you certainly got pick swaps if you want to do that. That's a little more dangerous here. But I do think if you're asking, you know, Sacramento won't say on the record, but if you're asking, hey, if you had a choice, would you rather have the 13th pick in the draft or, you know, the potential of moving next year's pick or having next year's pick at your disposal, I think they would have probably picked, you know, having that 2025 first to either keep or, you know, or move.
Bobby, can't tell you how much we appreciate your lessons. I feel a little smarter. How about you, Kyle?
Yeah, a little bit. He schooled us for sure.
It's incredible. Thank you. Incredibly complicated. He makes it seem so simple. Thank you, Bobby. We appreciate it, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, So overall, I think that's a fairly rosy outlook.
I think so, right? The way he made it sound, Sacramento's in a better position than the Lakers or to actually swing a trade. And so we still got some assets here.
Trade them picks.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. John Hollinger has some things to say about that, which we'll get to top of the hour. Even he looks at the Kings and goes, okay, they got some things going on. Oh. Can you believe that?
I'll save it. We'll talk about Hollinger. Yeah, I got something on Hollinger in a minute.
Top of the hour. When we come back, that call that made LeBron angry, that was not even the worst call of the day. And we'll hear some a Drapes throwback rant we've got for you, too, on the officiating. Next with the drive. We just had a really, I think, very encouraging chat with Bobby Marks about the Kings and their offseason. They've got got some options here. Maybe more than we thought they had.
Yeah, Bobby painting the rosy picture. Like, yeah, all is not lost.
Mm-hmm.
Even if Malik walks, you know, we still got some flexibility to do some things.
Yeah, I thought it was funny how, you know, I threw out some names. Like, I don't know, just some names. Somebody like Jeremy Grant. And he goes, oh, Portland's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, when you're rebuilding and you're in the luxury tax, that's not,
you don't want that, right?
Good situation.
No, Portland is. I mean, you got Brogdon. You still got Jeremy Grant. You got Thibault still there. I mean, they didn't do a whole lot at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they should be sellers, I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, it's funny how some of the same teams we talked about around the deadline, it's like we're right back.
Still right there.
Talking about those same teams.
Yep. And at one point, you were high on Jeremy Grant. I don't know if you still are. Are you?
It depends what time it is.
What day
it is. Which way the wind is blowing. You know, sometimes I look at it and go, man, that guy can shoot. Then, like, just today, I was looking at his rebound numbers. It's like, that's it?
That's it?
Am I looking at the wrong column?
Dude, you can't. It's like looking at reviews for a hotel or something.
Yeah.
You look long enough, you're going to find those negative ones, you know? It's not going to be all, you know, a bright, sunny picture.
But I think we can agree. I think we agreed yesterday. If the Kings really want to upgrade their talent, get to a point where the expectations are somewhere close to what they were before the season started, they're going to have to go out and get a significant talent.
Yes, they're going to have to get a significant talent. And, you know, one thing Bobby mentioned, and, you know, if you're a building team, being in the luxury taxes, so where are the Kings at right now? Are they poised to go for it? Or are they still in that building stage, you know? Do you swing for the fences right now and add that big piece? Or, do you got to wait and see what happens with Keegan Murray?
That's what, if I understood him right, what was so encouraging, because he said some of these teams are in the first apron of the luxury tax or further than that, so they're strapped as far as what they can take back. And he said the Kings, their house is in order, so they can take back
some big salary.
Okay. So they should have options.
They should have options.
What kind of appetite do they have for that?
Right, that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's one thing if you're the Celtics or Warriors or Lakers or Phoenix, you know, you've already shown you're willing to pay that much, you know. Are the Kings willing to swallow that big tax bill?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's tough. I don't know.
But he mentioned the same thing. We were talking about Malik, and he went right to Orlando, and that's just what we've been talking about.
He said Orlando, exactly. But he did make a good point. Orlando got some other contracts coming up. They got some young guys they're going to want to pay. You know, to me, when I look at it, if I'm being all, you know, looking at it from the 20,000 foot view, not as a Kings fan, the team I'm concerned about might be the San Antonio Spurs. I think that would be a perfect fit.
Mm-hmm.
You got Wembanyama, you got Vassell, you got some young talent there. You know, they need an upgrade in the backcourt, a ball handler, a distributor, and a shooter. I think San Antonio would be a perfect fit if I'm, Malik Monk.
Do you think Malik could be Malik under Pop?
That's a great question, right?
I like them both. You know,
That's the big question mark, right? I don't know if Pop will just let Malik do his thing.
Yeah,
just cut him loose.
Right,
but you never know.
Pop gets on the bus late.
He ain't screaming at Pop like that. That's for sure. No, you might be right. Maybe that's not a good fit.
We were just talking about, you know, LeBron last night and some bad calls that went against the Lakers and where the NBA is right now. Before we get back into that, we got a classic rant from Drapes we'll share with you too. You may remember from the Kings and Suns game. Do you know that was not even close to being the worst call yesterday? Did you guys see what happened to Aaron Boone against the A's? It was in the morning yesterday. Did you see this, Jay?
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Was this the first pitch or early? Five pitches into the game.
Yeah.
I heard about it.
A dispute about Ruiz, whether it was a check swing or not, and he ended up going to first base on a hit by pitch. And so Aaron Boone is riding the home plate umpire, riding him. And the home plate umpire turns. And you could see all this because somebody, microphones picked it up, and I saw all the video today. Home plate ump says, one more word and you're gone. Aaron Boone says, and then he's sitting there watching. And then somebody in the stand says something.
No way.
And the ump says, that's it. You're gone.
Oh,
Aaron Boone
gosh.
Goes like, what? You got to be kidding me. Yeah. And the umpire apparently said, I don't care who said it. You're gone.
That's what
he said. He got thrown out and he clearly did not say a word.
That's... Oh my gosh. The official's got too much power.
Yeah.
The ump got too much power. First of all, one more word and you're out of here?
Uh-huh.
What is this? I'm a grown man, dog. I can say whatever I want. You know, you can't throw me out. One more word. What if I said, please, sir? Oh, you're out of here. No, that's ridiculous. I didn't see this story.
Yeah, it was Hunter Windelstead, and it was top of the first inning. Yeah, and you know how umpires are. And Aaron Boone gets thrown out a lot. So when he said, when he was told, one more word, you're out, he's like, okay. And then next thing you know, he says nothing. You're gone.
Wow.
So that was the worst call.
That's the worst call today. Yes.
Yeah. But we've been wondering today where this leads the NBA. Where does it go from here? Did you say the two-minute report was interesting?
Yes, the two-minute report came out, and I'll go through both games. Regarding the Lakers-Nuggets game, there was one incorrect call, and it was in favor of the Nuggets. It should have been a defensive 3-second call on Jokic late in the game.
Uh-huh.
They did not call it, so an incorrect non-call. In the Sixers-Knicks game, there were 4 calls the officials got wrong, 3 of them favoring the Knicks.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrese Maxey, according to the 2-minute report, got fouled twice on the same possession at the end there.
They didn't
call either one of those. There should have been a foul on Joel Embiid that they said, and I forgot the OG Anunoby.
Did they
say
they should have called the timeout or not?
No, that wasn't part of it. OG Anunoby had a 3-second violation. It should have been called that they didn't call.
Wow.
Either.
So, it's like
so
the days
3
of old,
calls yeah. went against the Sixers
it's
last
like the
night.
Days of old Nick Bavetta calling games.
Yeah.
We'll get to Kyle's classic
rant.
Yes. Also, you won't believe this, but Hollinger says the Kings' outlook is pretty promising. It's coming up with the Drive Guy Sack. Town Sports.